Hello and welcome to episode 28 of A View from the Dugout with myself, Chris, from Say Run a Budget. And I am joined tonight by my co-host. It is the man, the myth, the legend, is Russ from Scotland Surveyor. How are you doing tonight, Russ?
I'm very well, Chris, and you?
Superb. Looking forward to the podcast tonight. We've got some listener questions, Russ. So this will be a little bit different, and it's quite a variety of subjects, not necessarily Surveyor-based, so I'm actually looking forward to those. That'll give us a high point, probably, of the podcast, I would imagine. So I'm looking forward to those.
That sounds good. Yeah. Obviously, you gave me a very brief overview this last 5-10 minutes there, because I hadn't seen that you'd put that up on the Twitter today.
Yeah.
So I am completely unprepared and have no idea what that are. We'll see what that brings. And we've got some big launch news today in typical Wednesday fashion.
We always get launch Wednesday. We should just call it launch Wednesday, because that's when they put things out. It's kind of middle of the week and they're like, yep, okay, well, let's launch this. And they've launched it right before the second division becomes, it's an SO5 this weekend. So it's timely. It's going to be expensive. It's the EFL Championship. So there's five clubs, Russ, that have come out. And now let me run through these clubs. We have Watford, Burnley, Coventry, interestingly, Norwich, and who's the fifth one, Russ?
I don't know.
Okay, he doesn't know, folks. He doesn't know. But yet, the other one was Millwall. Should have known Millwall from some of the old football hooligan programmes, Russ. I remember the Overgate went on lockdown, which is the shopping centre in Dundee. It went on lockdown one weekend when Dundee had a pre-season friendly with Millwall. And the fans came into the town and the shopping centre entirely went on lockdown, which was quite interesting. I've never seen that before. But that happened then. So, yeah, the launch, I think it's going to be quite an interesting one, Russ. Obviously, we've got a couple of devoted listeners in Adam, who's Burnley, came on, and Surreyor Canary, who's Norwich side, have come on. And I did see both of them were offering, to help with recommendations and things from their clubs. But of those five clubs, Russ, is there any standouts that kind of catch your attention, or any other players that you're looking forward to if and when the rest of the clubs launch?
Yeah, the interesting thing you mentioned there, obviously, with the five clubs, and you know what, I actually didn't know the five clubs. I'd actually forgotten it. The fifth one was Millwall. Quite interesting, obviously, from a Scottish perspective, there are 30-odd players from Scotland that are playing in the Championship. It's not an awful lot, really.
No.
24 teams, what, times 30-odd players in each squad. So out of 600-700 players, there's 30. There are a few standouts from the launch. The obvious ones, obviously, the captain Norwich is Grant Hanley. So international utility. I've done a wee bit of a stats exercise. I'm not going to in full depth this week, obviously, because we're going to wait and see if more clubs launch.
Yeah.
But Grant Hanley, he's on for example, last 5 of 53, last 15 of 49, and last 40 of 49, which is pretty decent numbers. Obviously got your international utilities I mentioned. His teammate, Kenny McLean, of course, is at Norwich.
Yes.
So there's another Scotsman. Millwall, one that I really, really like to look off. And I have to say, I've got first bid on him in the game, is Murray Wallace.
Murray Wallace. That's a name. So, do you know what? That's a football manager name. If ever there was a football manager name, that is one that I have definitely seen. I'm sure I've seen in some of our encounters, Russ.
It probably will have, actually. Yeah, he was at Falkirk years ago. Mm-hmm. And he was actually just talked about in the press how he has international aspirations. And as maybe as far-fetched as that kind of sounds, it's actually not. He's actually one of the real standout performers for consistency, both in the league in real life, but also in SO5. Again, when I obviously recite these numbers, it's 5, 15 and 40, but it's 54, 52 and 54 are his numbers, which is pretty good. Okay, he also pops up with a goal now and then at Millwall. So there used to be two Wallaces at Millwall. There was Murray and Jed, who moved to West Brom. So you always had to check to see who was scoring, but yeah, that's another one that's kind of come to mind. There are no Scottish players at Watford, certainly that are in the first team pictures. There are none at Burnley. It's Belgium or bust there now, isn't it?
It is. One thing for Watford as well is I think they've probably released as many cards as they've had managers in recent times, I would imagine.
Yeah. Slaven Bilic just gone in there now? Is that right?
I think so. I didn't see who's gone in, but I mean, it's something obscene. I mean, they're basically lasting about 3 months, if that, and they're gone.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very... I think they're owned by the same group that have Udinese, I believe.
That's right, yeah.
You know, so I believe it's Italian owners, and they're ruthless. I mean, they're literally, you know, boys out the door quite quickly. So that could be one to keep an eye on. I don't know how that's going to fare for player rotation. You know, when a new manager comes in, is it going to be the same boys that are getting games and things? I literally no real knowledge of the championship. We mentioned that just before it came on. My, you know, it's like any of these other leagues. I had zero knowledge of the La Liga Smart Bank up until a few weeks ago, other than I knew that Malaga were in it. You know, so it's going to be a league for me to actually, you know, I'll recognise more names, certainly, you know, again, but that's probably going to be more so from Football Manager for me, to be honest.
Yeah, well, obviously the big thing for the English leagues, for all the English leagues, is there are quite a lot of the guys that I introduced to Surrey play the sort of long-running fantasy football league that we've had going for over 30 years in Scotland. And it's the one I've mentioned a couple of times in the early podcasts, where it's real auctions and all the managers get around the table and only one person can have each player, etc. So you're bidding in real money to get them, but within a set parameter of total value. Mm-hmm. So the English leagues has been one that I followed very, very closely, you know, for 30 years or so. So, just looking at it, it's something that's... You know, I sat here 2 weeks ago saying, yeah, second divisions doesn't really interest me. And all of a sudden, the English Championship is now launching. And that does turn my head, because I've got what I'd like to think of, you know, really, really good knowledge of that league, along obviously with the Scottish stuff that I do. So I was looking at it. There are, as I say, there are 30 players or so. There are some that just don't get particular any game time. You know, you're talking like Scotland under 21s and under 23s that are playing the championship. But I do have, now obviously there are some of these that are going to be, it's all dependent on teams released and things, etc. But I've got 8 or 9 standouts just generally that, you know, we'll probably end up mentioning them maybe a few times in weeks to come. But Dominic Higham at Blackburn Rovers, who was born in Lookers on your bus route, I believe.
One of my local haunts, yes.
Yeah, so he's a 51, 44, 49 for his numbers over the game weeks. He's in at Blackburn Rovers, seems a really good player. He's actually genuinely been touted as well for the international team. And I've seen him play a few times on TV, and he looks a really good player. So he's one that I've got written down here. Tommy Conway at Bristol City as a breakthrough player. He's just started playing for the Scotland under 21s. He got his just call up in that last game. Really exciting player. Got a number of goals for Bristol City this season. And I think he's one of these players that I would expect, like when the auctions and that come out, if he gets launched, he'll be a player that basically goes for, I would think, quite good money, because he's going to be an under 23 card as well. He's got 7 goals for the season, which, you know, it's not often you can say that about potential Scotland strikers. You know, in October, somebody on 7 goals. So that's another one that I've got. One that you will be familiar with through playing probably FIFA Ultimate Team, Chris, because he normally gets a Team of the Season card, and it's Cal Naismith.
Yes.
So yes. Cal Naismith, I think he's had one of these blue Team of the Season cards the last couple of years. Cal Naismith is also at Bristol City. And his numbers are just a straight solid 51 from last 5 to last 40. He's 51 right across the board. And of course, Cal Naismith started his career at Rangers. So wee bit of pedigree there, and seems to be very versatile and in the Bristol City team every week. Right. Another couple have got Alan Campbell, recent Scotland cap, used to be at Motherwell.
Yes, yes.
Do you remember him? Yeah. So he's at Luton Town now. 51, 41, 42 for his numbers. Seems to be developing as a player. I would think he'll be the type of player that Luton Town, relatively maybe unfashionable within the sort of NFT world as such, nothing against Luton, but, you know, if it was the Steens that were launching, or remember all the Steens, Brian Steen and all these, were in the Panini books, perhaps if it was them, they'd be more collectible. But Alan Campbell, I would think, will be one of these players that is, you know, 0.05 ETH or something like that, and will give you solid performance. I've got Murray Wallace, that I mentioned earlier, Grant Hanley, Liam Lindsay. Now, Liam Lindsay is on a last 5 of 63 and a last 15 of 50. He's playing for Preston, who I think you've probably have seen it on Soccer Saturday and things. You know, they've just not been scoring, but they've also not been conceding this season.
Yeah, they're 4-4.
Yeah, and there's a Twitter account, which is Erling Haaland versus Preston. I don't know if you've seen it.
Well, he's already got half their tally just tonight alone in one half of football. So yeah,
well, there's a Twitter account that I stumbled across, and it's basically him versus Preston for the season.
People are brutal, aren't they? Really,
they are. It's pretty good. I've got four more names just to think about, just to sort of whet the appetite ahead of things. So Jason Kerr, that was at St Johnston. He's at Wigan these days, and he's another one that there's been a lot of shouts for him to get international recognition based on how consistent he is and just how solid a player he is. He's got some good numbers, all 50-plus as well. Tom McIntyre at Reading is a young under-23 Scotsman, and he's got, you know, his last 5 and last 15 over 50s as well, which is quite good. And two final ones, they're both injured at the moment. So their numbers are a wee bit skewed, but of course Ross Stewart, the Loch Ness Drogba, Sunderland, and Jacob Brown at Stoke City would be. So there's sort of Scottish cards and Scottish names that, you know, I'm looking going, wasn't really particularly interested in the Championship or the second tiers, and now I'm thinking, oh, I could build a nice cosmetic visual Scotland select.
Yeah, well, that's the thing that we were. I was speaking to one of the boys at work. He's a big Sunderland fan. And when I seen it was launching, the way they were dropping the teams one by one, and I thought, okay, it's going to be the whole thing. So I messaged him and just said, oh, keep an eye out, because I think Sunderland are about to come on if you're thinking of, you know, jumping in. And then I looked and I seen they hadn't. And I was like, oh, God. You know, like, because again, when you say the Scottish players, it's one of those that Ross Stewart was one that stood out to me, because obviously he was touted for other moves. I think he was even spoke about in the Rangers' breath in the summer, right. I believe. Mm-hmm. You know, whether that was just paper talk, because as we've said before, you know, the newspapers up here love to have Rangers and Celtic stories in them, because that's what sells the papers, because that's what's got the majority of the fans. So, I think it's going to be a big one. It was interesting. It was only the 5 clubs, Russ. I think it's, you know, whether that's down to licensing with other clubs and other apps, you know, other apps, other, you know, platforms. It'll be interesting to see if maybe next week they drop another 5 and they're actually just going to kind of weed these out, you know, rather than dropping 24 teams in one go. We're going to do 5. We're going to do, you know, so many each week as licenses come in. The interesting thing to note for me was just the fact that when the Scottish League launched back in April, it was all, we've launched the SPFL. It was at SPFL. They tagged them in it. There was no tagging of the EFL, which I think was quite interesting to me, as maybe, you know, something that stood out that wasn't there. But on the flip side, it's also a foray into England out with Liverpool. And I think that could be a good sign, you know, for potential bigger things in the future. I mean, obviously, the one standout league that's not there now is obviously the English Premiership. So is this kind of, you know, right, let's get this extra league out, because Serie B has to follow now. Because that'll give them all their second tier, you know, leagues out there for them to have the SO5 running fully. So yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see where that goes in the coming weeks. And I'll definitely be looking at, you know, some of these players. I did notice that Tom Cleverley was spelt in a very bizarre fashion as well, which didn't look great on the launch. If you have a look at the Watford one, if you have a look, there's about 73 E's in his name, when there's only supposed to be 72. So yeah, there's certainly extras. It's not a good look. I could see that it's actually been deleted, because I shared it earlier on in the day. I can now see that post is gone. So I think they've revised it and relaunched it, but it was spelt completely wrong in the first instance. So but nonetheless, it'll be interesting to see when the rest of these ones come along. But I will start to do some research. I probably will tap in. I know a good few weeks ago when I bought the boy Nunes from Norwich. Serer Canary sent me over. If and when it launches, here are a bunch of players. So I'm going to leave that for him to post, because I think it'll be good content for him. Hopefully get extra follows and things like that there as well for himself. So, it's good. You know, we spoke about it back in April. Buying players from your own team, buying players from your own league is a massive one. And I could totally see why this would pique your interest, for example, to go and look at that, because I think it was a couple of weeks ago on one of the Saturdays, I think it was the Saturday I was off work because I pinched a nerve in my neck and I could hardly move. You were sending me over, he says, like, I've got 7 boys to score today, any time, and I'm waiting on 2. And I'm looking at these names and I'm like, who are any of these players? I don't know who these players are.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm absolutely no idea, but this is, you know, your fantasy league's been running for so long that you are entrenched in these leagues. And if I'm not mistaken, you're the one that's running things in terms of having to keep track of all these players. So the knowledge is going to be enormous there for you. So to tap into a resource that you know so much about, I think will be enormous. I definitely think that'd be an enormous advantage for you. And, you know, I do hope that, you know, you could definitely find your way in that one. I think that, again, I said it when when the SPFL launched, that nobody would find better information and fact-based information. You know, you'll give the facts and I'll give, you know, some analysis in my view of things. Yeah. But I don't think people will find it better. And I think especially, you know, around, like you just mentioned, all these Scottish players and the other key players, and there'll be players under the radar that guys won't know about, that through your fantasy football, you're going to know them. So
Yeah, definitely.
And I'm looking for some tips, Russ. I'm looking for some tips.
Do you know what? I think I'm kind of in a weird situation here. Scottish League launched and we were delighted when it launched. And obviously more so the fact that Dundee and Dundee United had lots of player variations and there was lots. We were probably, I think in truth, maybe a little bit disappointed. You know, you're looking thinking, okay, Hearts, half the squad missing, a lot of key keepers missing.
Yeah.
You know, Rangers were missing as well, which, you know, you're looking and going, right. So there was a load, obviously loads and loads of players in Surrey came along and snapped up anything they could afford within the Celtic realms, which makes perfect sense. And then there was guys like me and you that picked up our own club players. And, you know, I think I had 7 or 8 Dundee United players at one point. And I know that you got the entire limited squad with your beloved Ds. But, you know, that was brilliant. And with it, I noticed an influx of Scottish players to the platform, some that had come through some of the work maybe that I do, some that certainly that you do, a couple, to be fair, to some of the Scottish professionals that play Surrey as well, that had brought in a few as well. So there was an influx of Scottish people playing the game.
Yeah, definitely.
What I really want to see is a mass influx of more English, obviously, people coming to play the game as well. The English leagues actually, I have to say, because of the amount of teams and the fact, as I say, that I've been doing this for 30 years with this fantasy football league, it actually probably excites me overall more than the Scottish league launching. And I know that sounds a wee bit bizarre given the fact that I'm branded as Scotland Surrey and stuff, but it's purely down to the fact that I think there's going to be more options because there'll be so many more players. I think there's so many more options to pick up a gem for cheaper, which excites me.
I think, you know, that's exactly what I was kind of hinting at, that I think it will be great for that, you know, point of view, because, you know, like, whilst I'm looking at I'll go back to Spain in the second tier. I'm looking at these auctions coming through and I'm seeing DNPs and under 23 DNPs, or maybe a 24 against an under 23. And you look at it and he's 18 and it's just been his first game off the bench. And you think, okay, I mean, is that going to be a longer term thing? Is it something, you know, it's purely speculation, but like that, you are going to have more of a background on that, as are the guys who are fans of these teams. They're going to know more about these type things. So I'm excited about it. If it's going to open up extra avenues to go and play in these, this second division league, fantastic. The auctions are going really slowly. For the cards, they've slipped them back into alphabetical order. So again, that's it's good and bad. It's good in the sense that, you know, it's not going to just splurge the market with so many new players. It's maintaining that level, which is, you know, Serer could easily launch five of each of these rare in rare, and they'll all sell for magic prices, and then they could slow it down. But they're taking the decision to slowly drip feed everything in, and I think that it's the right thing to do, in my opinion. But it'll keep the prices high for a lot of these cards at the moment, because I'm still seeing it in Spain. The prices for some of these average cards are nuts. You know, it's expensive for some of these average cards, and I think, you know, like you say, some of these teams may be sitting at the bottom, like Coventry, for example, are sitting bottom of the league at the moment, if I'm not mistaken. And you know, so how's that going to affect prices of players? But then again, as you know, it's what, a 46 game season, I believe.
Yeah.
So it's you know, there's still an enormous amount of football to play for all these teams. And you know, with the English Championship, they've had midweek games this week. You know, so you're going to have a lot of midweek utility in there. And the close down for the World Cup, I believe, when we looked at it, it comes back before Christmas, doesn't it, Russ, or right at Christmas?
I'm just checking.
So I'll just double check that right now. But yeah, it's an exciting time to have that launch. And again, you know what? If you are buying some of these players now, you're going to have an opportunity to turn them around. You know, if you are lucky enough to pick up the auction and somebody else is wanting that card, you know, they can only buy it from you just now. So yeah, I think it's going to be quite fun. Yeah, you know what? They're back on the 10th of December. So they're not down for long. So that's not a bad option to pick up those cards there as well. So yeah, excited to see that, Russ. And I think new avenues to play. And it doesn't have to be on the second tier. You could play them in your All-Star team. So it's, you know, I don't believe you can play them in Challenger anymore.
No, you can't play them in Challenger.
It's just going to be second.
Under 23s, Global.
Yeah.
And Division 2.
If you're still playing Specialist and Underdog, you can play them in those.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's going to be exciting. I'm intrigued by it, Russ. I'm intrigued by it.
What I also intrigued by, and just before we kind of close on the Championship for now, you pointed out a very valid point. And one of the things that we've seen five teams launch today, it would be really interesting to see. I'm hoping there's another five launch tomorrow. It'll be better, to be honest with you. But it could be, given the fact, as I say, that they like Wednesdays so that they can kind of get a mention on a view from the Dugout podcast. And no sorry off a Wednesday. Obviously.
Why else would they do it on a Wednesday unless it was to be you know, mentioned on the highest rated podcast?
Well, there is that. what is intriguing, and we mentioned it, and you know, let's just not avoid the elephant in the room, but there are other games out there. And one of the games that actually I had looked at was Ultimate Champions. And for me, I've avoided playing that. You know, I didn't particularly like the look of the game model. I didn't even particularly like the look of the cards. And I think this is a really good move by Serer in the fact that there are four or five teams that are licensed over there. Mm-hmm. I think Blackpool's one of them, Sunderland, I think maybe Millwall, which obviously is also with Serer today. But there are a few of these, obviously, clubs that are over there. And this, I think, is a good thing in the fact that hopefully, potentially the user base that's maybe looking at all the different options can now see Serer as a valid stop for all the football. Yeah. You know, I think they maybe do a Romanian league or a French league or something like that. I've looked at it. It's not for me, and I won't be playing it based on it. I'm not a fan of the mechanics and stuff and whatever. But yeah, I think Serer have kind of got, they had a competitor in the marketplace to a small extent there with them. And I think this obviously just brings things back into line that, do you know what, we are going to try and remain, you know, they've got other sports for a start, but we're going to try and remain the dominant sort of market leader in, you know, sport and NFTs with game utility. Do you agree with that? Or?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's, do you know, every time a new league comes out, it's a new set of eyeballs that can come into the platform. And like you say, now they've nailed a lot of the top leagues now. There's that one big elephant in, you know, in the English Premiership still to come. Mm-hmm. And I think, You know, obviously, I don't know if you've seen it at the weekend. I think Liverpool, when they were playing against Brighton, had Serrer round the side of the pitch as well in their advertising hoardings, which is fantastic. Again, it's more eyeballs. People are going, what's that thing? You know, and then look at it, and it just brings more users to the platform. So, yeah, I think it does give it, a, you know, an all-in-one, you know, one place kind of thing. And it's, you know, if your team, I don't know if, you know, if Dundee had been on it, for example, last season, would I have looked at it? I probably wouldn't have. Again, I'm not mad on it either. I had a brief look and then that was me. But do you know what? To be honest, I've not looked at it again or enough, maybe. I couldn't really split my time because I've seen what happens when I split my time. I'll take my focus off this. And this has been my bread and butter, and it's made me so much money in the last 18 months. Mm-hmm. So why would I, you know, divert from what I've been doing? It makes no sense to me. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see where it goes from there, Russ. So I'm interested to see what appears in your gallery over the next couple of days. I'll certainly be having a nosy. Right, so will we slide into these questions, Russ?
Go for it.
Yeah, so obviously I posted up today. I thought it might be interesting just to try and get a wee bit of user, you know, listener engagement, basically, with the pod. We'll have obviously a lot of regular listeners, and I just thought it might be something that could be interesting. And I put on it specifically, it didn't have to just be Serrer. It could be anything football related or that sort of thing. So although I've got these questions copied and pasted on a notepad here, I haven't given them any thought. I've literally copied them over, and this is what I've got. So Mark Simons, let's go with Mark first of all. Do you have, so basically we've got our three top goals of all time, Russ, and it's one per category here. So what your favourite goal for brilliance / technique? I can think of one straight off. One for importance and one sentimental. You know, it could have been the first goal you've seen, or it could have been, you know, for whatever reason. So do you want to go first with any of those three?
So what was it? Technical, brilliance.
So brilliance or technique? I've got one. Okay. Georgie Nemzadze against Dundee United. His chip over Alan Coombe at Tannadice in the same game Kinesia had scored earlier in the game. And it's one of the most exquisite chips you'll see. And it was one I actually had on my desktop on my computer back in 2000 or so when it happened. It was he was an exquisite player. He could have done anything, Nemzadze. He was an absolutely phenomenal player. But that's one for brilliance or technique that I would go for. I will find that and I will post it on social media.
Mm-hmm. What's your next goal then, and what's it for?
So one for importance. I'm going to say this would have been when we won the championship back in 2013-14 season, last day of the season against Dumbarton. It was Pizzo against, it was a cross from Gary Irvine, and it was Pizzo that headed it in 2-0 to make it against Dumbarton, which was the final game of the season we had to win, basically, because of shenanigans that were going on with Hamilton Accies when they won 10-2 and it was never questioned. It was just accepted that happened. And one sentimental, Russ, I'm probably going to go with the 93rd minute winner in the Doon Derby on the 2nd of May 2016. Craig Whiting from the edge of the box. I remember being absolutely furious. It was 1-1, and all we needed to do was draw. We would relegate United. And we had a free kick in the corner in the last minute of the game. And I was just like, just keep it in the corner. Just keep it in the corner. Don't play it in the box. Just keep it in the corner. And instead, Greg Stewart cut it to the edge of the box. And it was put past wee Kawashima into the back of the net. And that was the winner that relegated United. So they'd probably go with those three, Russ.
That's fair enough.
I've went all with my team because, to be honest, they're the ones that mean the most to me. So
yeah, the technique, McFadden.
Oh,
for Scotland versus,
I know already which one you're talking about. Paris.
Yeah. The date is still imprinted. 12th of September 2007 in Paris, in France. Scotland won, France nil.
Unbelievable. And what an away top that was as well, by the way.
Indeed. And if any of our listeners, for some reason, have not seen that goal, please go and look at it.
We'll get that up on the pod account as well, Russ.
It absolutely shocked the world. Never mind. Just the Scotland team at the time in the Tartan Army. So that would be one for technique. Okay. You've obviously got a few other like obvious ones. You know, Van Basten's goals and mm-hmm. Some of that. They're obvious ones, but they'll be everybody's. So yeah. I'll go for that one. One for was it importance?
Importance, yeah.
Goals that one clip that I will continuously watch, and I will watch it with goosebumps, is obviously the Griffiths free kicks against England. I could watch that honestly over and over again with Joe Hart scrambling and just he goes again shout from it's Martin Tyler, isn't it, that's on the comms, and it's Griffiths goes again and the place just goes absolutely ballistic.
Catch him if you can, catch Scotland if you can.
That's the one.
Because I've seen it so many times too.
I know, and you know what, I've probably contributed to at least 4,000 of the YouTube views on that. So that's probably, it's generally, I watch that every time. Do you know what, it just gives me that sort of nationalistic pride that, and there'll be Welsh and Irish and, European and English guys listening that have got the specific goals themselves. Mm-hmm. But these are, ones that really get for me.
Would you count that as your sentimental one then, as opposed to importance? Because I would have said it was the importance if it hadn't have been for Stuart Armstrong ballsing the whole thing up by not just launching the ball up the path.
I know, just get it clear, Stuart, just get it clear. He was actually in the same position just a couple of weeks ago in the Nations League there. It was Armstrong that was bringing the ball out and it was like, please don't do it again, please don't do it again. Yeah. Do you know what? Importance, yes. It's hard to probably for me to categorise these just like off the cuff here. And as I say, I genuinely hadn't seen the questions, so I'm kind of off prep here. But yeah, Griffiths, McFadden.
What about a suggestion of this one for your importance one then, Russ? United's Cup winner in 94.
Brewster.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't a spectacular goal. It was a tap in at the end.
Yeah.
That was a massive monkey off United's back. What was it, seven cup finals?
Craig Brewster, this was the Hampden hoodoo. Mm-hmm. So Dundee United had continuously kept getting to the Scottish Cup final. And we just couldn't win. We couldn't get over the line. And that included games versus St Mirren and Motherwell that we were expected to win. And then we obviously had a few games against Celtic as well, which were, we weren't expected to win. For me, probably that is a really important goal. Craig Brewster was also quite local to the fact that he played for Forth Athletic, which at the time I was growing up and doing my secondary education in. So he'd obviously been at Raith Rovers as well in Kirkcaldy. So yeah, Craig Brewster, that is probably a very significant goal in the fact that it really gave United that cup final sort of impetus to go on and actually, sort of move on from that, and that was a big lift for us. Another probably couple of goals that one of the goals that I really, really liked, and I used to be a Newcastle United supporter. By that, obviously, Scotsman living in the north of Scotland. I wasn't season ticket holder or anything, but when all my friends were Manchester United fans, I was a Newcastle United fan. And I did have visited St James's on, I don't know, maybe about a dozen occasions in total. I think I've been there about 10, 12 times in my life, but I did. I watched all the games on Sky Sports and things. And that's the time when it was Keys and Gray and, all those guys and stuff. And it was the Tintin Out song and things like that. Strings for Yasmin. That was the big opener. It was amazing. And when Philip Albert's chip was, will always, we had so much pain against it. I had a really good friend that was a Liverpool fan and they kept getting the better of us in like 5-4 and 4-3 games. And obviously Shearer, it was that time when it was, Shearer, Beardsley, Asprilla, Ginola, Ferdinand, Gillespie was the attacking, and it was the Christmas tree formation as well that we played. So it was like, right, you guys all go forward, and we've got David Batty in the middle of the park that's going to half everybody. We've got Pierce and Beresford that are also going to half everybody. And then you've got you know, the long ponytail of Darren Peacock elegantly tripping people up with his hair. And then you've got this cultured Belgian colossus in Philip Albert strolling about like he's fucking Matthias at the back.
Yeah.
And to be honest, yeah, it was just one of those that no one's seen that game coming. And to win that 5-0, obviously Shearer got his headed goal and Ferdinand scored in that one as well. So yeah, that was a big one. And as I say, I stopped following Newcastle United when Mike Ashley and Alan Pardew were both the combination of owner and manager, and I just couldn't bring myself to follow them anymore. I still kind of look out for the results now, but it's weird. I don't really have an English team, and I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but for me as a Dundee United fan, I just don't get, being obviously I'm a 70s child, but I don't get anybody that was born in the 70s and 80s that's a Dundee United fan that claims that they're a Manchester United fan as well. Because Dundee United and Aberdeen were the fiercest rivals in Scottish football in the 80s, on a par with the Old Firm. Mm-hmm. And you were either Ferguson or McLean. And those two managers were absolute loggerheads in everything in Scottish football, because there were two rising forces in Scottish football.
And when, back-to-back seasons as well for the league. So
absolutely. And when I started having some friends that were like, yeah, we support Man United and love Ferguson, I'm like, wait a minute, you were calling them for everything under the sun only like 2-3 seasons ago. How can this possibly be? So, yeah, I was very anti-Manchester United. I had absolute delight in having over 7.5 goals on my coupon at the weekend. For the second time, we'll not mention the other game, which involved Celtic.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had over 7.5 goals on my football coupon at the weekend there, and obviously watched that Man United Man City game, which was very pleasurable viewing for me. So I'd probably say that I quite like watching Man City now. I'm not a fan of theirs, but Haaland is a joy to watch on a football park, as is De Bruyne, aren't they?
Two more goals tonight. So I think it's quite something. It's going to take something to stop him. That was quite a tangent after three important goals elsewhere. But do you know what?
Answer them shorter now.
Yeah, do you know what? Let's go with another short one. This is from Weaselmont. He's asked, best place to park for the United Aberdeen game on Saturday. Do you have a preferred location for parking, Russ? I know what your car looks like, so we could probably
I was the way to say, for £3 you can park in my drive.
It's a fair trek from yours to the ground, though, I would imagine.
It is a wee bit.
I have a favourite spot. If I don't get it, it's we lose. Christian knows exactly where it is. He'll be able to say exactly where it is as well, but it's hard to say, you know, like, to be honest, wherever you can get parked and your car's safe. I mean, I usually park
the car park off Stobbs Well.
Yeah. And you can get a disc. You can also park up on the Clippington Road. You know, depending if you're going for a pre-match pint, you know, there's plenty of locations. And to be honest, although, yeah, like you say, the rivalry used to be fierce, and I think there is still some fierce rivalry between some of the teams. I don't really see it as being something where you're going to get set upon for going to the pub to go and have a pint before a game. It's not that kind of thing. But give us a shout if you are in Dundee, Weaselmont. Might see if we can maybe catch a quick pint before you head off to Tannadice. Are you frequenting the game this weekend, Russ? Or are you just being a good old fair weather fan and just going to European games?
I'm undecided.
Oh, undecided.
Undecided.
Obviously, we've kind of skiffed over the Scottish thing, but I mean, that's Kilmarnock got a win tonight, Russ, which leaves United even more adrift at the bottom. You know, 3 points adrift at the bottom. So
we're not getting relegated, according to reports in the press from players.
Yeah, well, I mean, you score your second goal in 29, you're a legend, aren't you? So, I think they're still in a lot of trouble, and I think. But Aberdeen's travels, they haven't won in over a year outside of Aberdeen or Perth. So that's including playing Dundee last season twice. You know, it's
we're the team to fix that. Don't you worry.
Absolutely they are. So Weaselmont, plenty of parking to be had. Let's have a look at a surreal question, and it's another Scottish based one. This is from Connor Kebab, great name. Are there any non-card players from the SPFL we want when they launch, Russ? The first two that popped to my head, he's given three examples, and he said Juranovic, Anthony Stewart, and Barry Mackay. Now, I think Barry Mackay's high on the list. I think he's been fantastic. I think he was extremely unfortunate not to have been called up into the national team, especially with the number of withdrawals. Did he get called up in the end, I believe?
He got called up to the squad and he sat on the bench without getting a minute.
I think he's deserved minutes this year, in my opinion.
He's been capped before.
Just at this point, he's deserved it for what he's done this season, I think, so far. He's been fantastic for Hearts. The one that immediately springs to mind for me, Russ, well, there's two. There's Craig Gordon. I think we're both still baffled that he wasn't in the game.
Yeah,
or on the platform, whether you want to look at it as a game or platform. But also Majovski of Aberdeen. He's been a good goal scorer. And I think Majovski could definitely be one that... I think he's going to go a pretty penny. I do think he'll go for quite a bit. But he would probably be the other one that springs to mind.
I think, yeah, Majovski's a definite 100% because he's got... I'm just looking here and he's got 8 goals in all competitions for Aberdeen this season.
Yeah.
A couple that I'd like to see. Stephen Fletcher at Dundee United. I don't think it would be a particularly pricey card, but I'd like to think that he is going to score some goals over the duration of this sort of 2-year contract. I think we need more Hearts cards. So Craig Gordon, and then we've got quite a few. You've got your kind of... Australian contingent, Kyle Rose, Nathaniel Atkinson, Cammy Devlin, guys like that would be good just to give you a wee bit of variation.
It's Bacchus, isn't it?
Keanu Bacchus at St Mirren would be good.
He's been really good, and obviously he's in and about the national team as well. He's one I'd be interested in seeing because he has... I think he's been, when I've seen St Mirren this season, which has been about 3 times, I think, he's been very good. And I think Alex Grieve doesn't have a card either, does he? I don't believe he does. New Zealand international?
I'll tell you who does have a card, who has had number one released 17 days ago.
Who's that?
Josh Campbell. There is one. Now, that has sneaked under the radar because I've been periodically checking for Josh Campbell because he's an under-23. He's got 5 goals this season. He's looking really good at Hibs. And there is only one rare who is owned by Death for Love 2006. I'm looking at it here. It went for 0.12, but Josh Campbell has plenty of decisives in him. You know, his last 5 is 55. He got 66 against Rangers, 40 St Mirren, 41 Kilmarnock, 80 Aberdeen and 47 Ross County. So he is now obviously been released, which is great. On that note, I'm going to quickly check. Gordon's not sitting with like 8 minutes to go or something.
Can you imagine? We've just been sitting there. Completely missed him. It is bizarre there were so many players that were missed off of Hearts, for example. And, you know, I kind of wonder if, do you think there's maybe like a player, you know, an image rights thing maybe, that some of the players maybe have got their own deals?
I just think Nicholas is a Hibs fan.
Could be. There's another one. Speaking of Hibs, what about David Marshall? Now, given his age, do you think his card might not be super expensive?
You wouldn't expect it to be, no, because
he's a solid number one. So that might not be a bad shout. If they do come out and you know you're looking for a keeper. Because obviously Hibs had, you know, their keepers in the game. So that could definitely be one.
A budget one for me would be, and he would be budget, would be he's not in the best of form at the moment, but Jordi Hawula at Ross County. It was quite a good I believe he was at Coventry City and things from memory, and he was quite a good lower league English scorer. He had a probably better season last year. But Jordi Hawula at Ross County is one that we'd sort of certainly keep an eye on. Graham Carey at St Johnstone.
Yeah. So, you know, there's actually a lot, isn't there, really?
And the boy Ayunga. Jonah Ayunga at St Mirren.
Younger would be a good one as well. Yeah, definitely.
I'm just checking right now live as we record that he also is not. Hand on heart, I have been tracking Josh Campbell for months, and
curious, haven't you? I can see it in your face.
Do you know what? I'm actually really annoyed at myself. I've obviously not checked him in the last 2 weeks because I would have seen that auction finished and I would have bid on it.
In the words, anyway. In the words of Charlie Mulgrew, raging, is he?
Raging, are you? Aye. Okay. Okay, so move on. What we got else? What else we got?
Well, let's move on to the next one. Let's do another Surrey-based one, Russ. This is more of a strategy-based one. Kevin T has asked, and I think we're both going to say the same answer to this one. It's basically around the fact that if you're looking at low-value new users coming onto the platform, with the price of the rare goalkeepers, what would you suggest as a strategy? And my strategy is going to be the same probably as yours, and it's probably going to be look along the lines of trying to get yourself the four cards that can get as close to that 50 points as possible, and play rare. Now, if that means you're picking players from teams that are coming towards the end of a season, or you're building for next season already, or looking for when the breaks are coming up and when you can get them back in, that's probably going to be my shout on that one, Russ. There are a lot of cards around the 50 points mark that you could pick up, because you've got to bear in mind your bonuses on top of that, and your captain. So that would take you over the 205. Just as an example, there's tonight. I've got my team in the midweek. I've had three St Johnston players. They've lost 2-1. And Motherwell won last night, and I've ended up on 230 points, and I've hit Lowrieth with four cards, and that's with three relative underperformers. So you're looking at, you know, I've come away with, what, 23 quid, give or take, that it's going to be, and that's going straight in the holiday fund. So it's more than possible to do it on a regular basis. You just need to get the right players. That would be my advice on that one, Russ. I don't know what you're thinking.
Just to be short and sweet, pretty much the same. I do like the fact that, you know, if you do have that extra funds that you make from hitting Lowrieth a couple of times, trying to pick up, ideally, younger the better. Hard to get an under-23 number two goalkeeper now for, like, you know, 0.004 or 0.05 or something like that. But maybe somebody that's 25, 26 that's got a chance, probably not an ageing goalkeeper, so you probably don't want to be picking up a number two that's like 37, 38, because there's obviously the retirement risk. But yeah, first and foremost, it's got to be, if you're starting out in the game, chase the monetary rewards that you're not up against everybody else, and that is those threshold payments while they're there. So it'll help you build up the funds.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's then having to be disciplined to be able to build up that balance to start looking at the goalkeepers, because there are still some decent value. I mean, theirs was last week, Russ. We both looked at two keepers. You went with one and I went with the other, and it was David Jensen that I picked up. I'd sold Misahin Radlinger that we mentioned on the podcast last week, that I was actively shopping him because of the length of the international the winter shutdown. And I went with a Turkish goalkeeper, and I've managed to pick him up for almost 0.1 less than what I got in. And he's already up over 0.5. I think it's 0.53 is his recent sale prices. So 0.11 up on him. So it's worth having a look if you can really do some digging. And who knows, you know, if you've got the knowledge of some of these teams that have come into the game, like Coventry, for example. I don't know anything. I'm just saying, like, if you know that there's a second string goalkeeper that's possibly on the brink, you can maybe swoop in under the radar and pick some of these cards up. So, yeah, just have a look around. As you say, Russ, look on SofaScore, find the backups that are, you know, or whichever app you want to use, the ones that are sitting on the bench every week, and try and pick one of those up as cheap as you can, rather than one with a red cross, because it just seems pointless to pick up a red cross. You're as well trying to get that backup that could, for whatever reason, be it injury, be it COVID, be it form, just gets that chance at being the number one. And it'll make you the money, and it'll also help you get the ETH on a regular basis. So, yeah, that would be my advice. If you're a super low user and you're only coming in with 20, 30 quid, obviously your only option is to play limited. That's going to be your options. And I would suggest try and get into the specialist limited league as quick as you can, because that way you can win the rare prizes, and then you can start to trade up and get into the threshold leagues and such. So another one, Russ, this is going to be a football-based one, and it's kind of a fan experience sort of thing. So our favourite St Johnston fan, maybe my only favourite St Johnston fan of all time, Ian Serrer, He sent in favourite away day experience. So not necessarily just stadium, but he's got like pubs, chippies, etc. I remember there was always like when you were coming back from Glasgow, there was a certain chippy I'd always stop it on the way out of Glasgow to go and get something there. Can't remember for the life of me where it was, but if I was driving it, I would know where it was. I see, for me, a lot of the games I go to these days are with my son, and he's still underage for getting into the pubs. So pubs is kind of irrelevant to me on that one. It's probably similar to you, Russ, but, you know, we're taking the young lad to games. But for away days, I love a game where it's maybe on the terrace. So like this weekend, Dundee are playing against Arbroath, and I was sorely tempted to maybe head the, 15, 20 miles along to Arbroath. And if the game's rotten, I would just go into Pleasureland outside and play on the two machines, because Pleasureland is fantastic. Get your, but it's like Blackpool, but in miserable Scotland instead. And also, depending on the weather on the day, Russ, we've seen goal kicks go out for corners. At either end,
or the North Sea.
It's a wild place to go and watch football. But I think if I'm looking at other ones for me, Russ, Livingston. Obviously, I went there in what was that, May, last game of the season, because you've got the factory outlet store at the back of the stadium. So you come out of the stadium, you cross the road, and you can go and get some retail therapy when your team have been pumped. So yeah, that's probably a couple of them there for me, Russ. Any that come to mind?
I think I spoke about it maybe on episode being in the first 10 episodes. Obviously, I've been to the Bernabeu, which was amazing, and that was the game, as I say, that Barcelona and Real Madrid were neck and neck, and Madrid went 3-0 down to Walter Pandiani's hat trick. So that was an amazing experience when obviously Madrid came back to win that game. Obviously Raul was in Van Nistelrooy, and that were all playing for Madrid back then. So I probably actually as a group of Scottish guys at that stadium on a stag do. Obviously we were all into our football, or certainly most of us were. We probably didn't appreciate the players that were actually on show in its entirety, really, you know, like in that game. But that was obviously an amazing atmosphere. I do go to the Scotland games.
Yeah.
I used to go, and obviously I returned last year going back to the games after a wee bit of an absence. But yeah, you know what, I love it. There's sort of pre-match pubs that we go to in Glasgow. We've been into the Shed, which, you know, you're walking into one floor and it's like you're walking into like a concert on one of the floors. It's, you know, I'm of the age now that it's like, right, I've got to hold on to the guy in front and make sure my phone's charged, otherwise I could get lost. And, you know, it's like people putting signs and parties out for me.
You've got one of these red tags on with you, you pull it in case of getting lost, you could just pull it and the alarm goes off. People know where you are.
But do you know what? These are really good atmosphere. Do you know what? I've got a few grounds that I want to go to that I've never been to. So I've never been to Anfield, and I really want to go to Anfield, which would be great.
My boss was there at the weekend, Paul. He's a Liverpool fan, and he was at the game at the weekend. Probably an exciting game to go to, but not the result they would have wanted, I wouldn't have thought. That's quite a good one. I've actually been to the Etihad. I watched Man City against Chelsea there.
That's right.
That was a good one. That was my son's Christmas, one of his presents. Got tickets for that, and we went to see, and it was 1-0. But it was just one of those things. You had Hazard, De Bruyne, and all these players playing right in front of you, and we were kind of pitch level with the seats, so it was phenomenal kind of watching, you know, proper world-class players playing football. So yeah, that would be one for me. Sorry, I interrupted you rudely.
No, you're okay. I've just got two final points. Obviously I was at the Celtic Park when Scotland were using it, and obviously the Scotland Latvia game, which, as I say, it's no longer the record holder, but at the time it broke the record for record decibels in a football stadium. So basically the noisiest or loudest ever sort of supporter base in a football stadium, and that was a world record that it broke back then. So that was amazing. I'd like to go to a country I've never been to. I've never been to Germany in my life, and there are quite a few of the stadiums I'd like to go at. But I think for me, the although I've mentioned all those as like places I'd like to go, the number one stadium that I want to go to is I want to go to Besiktas just once in my life. There are videos all over YouTube of the Besiktas.
Wild atmospheres, eh?
Oh, the atmospheres look absolutely amazing and absolutely wild. There's one video in particular. It's actually the manager that's conducting the crowd, which is absolutely immense. And to think of the absolute passion of the fact that this manager is conducting the crowd, you know, if you imagine, you know, like Mark McGee trying to do that at Dens or you know, Mixu Patalainen and at Tannadice or something. But yeah, no, just something like that. Final note on your Gayfield potential visit this weekend, which is the home of Arbroath. Gayfield is the closest football stadium in Europe to the sea.
Yes, many a ball will land in there. But yeah, speaking of Germany, Russ, obviously a couple of years ago I went to Germany and we did the stadium tour for the Olympic, or the Olympiastadion. That was quite something to kind of go there for the history, you know, aspect of it as well as the stadium. But that's one thing, that was right before the pandemic. And I did say to Louise, I was like, that would be something that you could easily get a flight on a Saturday morning, tickets for the game, some digs for one night, fly back the next afternoon. And, you know, your beer's cheap. You can have a great day out. That would be one, if you were interested at any point and we could both wrangle it with the missus, I would 100% be up for doing something like that.
You pay and I'm there. Happy days.
Well, how about we just win a Star Rare and we both go?
Boston. All right, okay.
I will do that. But yeah, no, that would be something I would thoroughly enjoy. So that was just a selection of questions. And I actually quite enjoyed it because it was something completely different. You know, before we were kind of starting off the podcast with some retro news or some random topic, and it kind of took us on a tangent. And that was my idea today, was just to try and get a wee bit of something different. There's not been a whole heck of a lot going on in Surrey, I think it's fair to say. So we just kind of, you know, well, obviously there was a launch and we've been doing our own thing, but we've kind of talked ad nauseum recently about what we've been doing. And I think we both felt maybe just like we were repeating ourselves on a weekly.
I think we just wanted to change it up a wee bit. We're aware that obviously when we're talking about our own teams, we actually even modified that initially. I think, you know, maybe 10, 12, 15 episodes, we would talk about our teams in their entirety and what teams we were putting out and things. And you know, the idea behind that was that we would hopefully like help some of the newer guys with getting familiarity around names of players that were doing quite well, player tips, things like that, but also just giving an accurate reflection on how we were actually faring within the game. So we're not winning, you know, we're not winning blue cards every week. We're not winning reds every week. You know, we're not winning every week. We're real-time sort of players that are in the same boat as many of the people that listen. And I think we were trying to just be very reflective of, we're hopefully, you know, sort of on a par with our listening audience.
I think that was important. I think that was important to keep, you know, to kind of just make a point that we are literally, you know, two guys that have actually worked our way up with our balance. You know, we haven't, you know, sent 5 or 10 grand into the platform and you know, have bought, you know, we're way to success. We have worked up, I mean, but we have worked extremely hard for it. And it's I think it's important that guys can see that there is a path and there is an avenue in, you know, to being able to, you know, win big rewards or to keep pushing forward in it. So I've thoroughly enjoyed the podcast, but maybe the last few weeks I've kind of felt a wee bit like, you know, we're maybe not given our you know, the listeners what they kind of were expecting necessarily. Maybe I was getting bogged down in maybe too much negativity and not just having the fun that, you know, I should be having, because ultimately, whether nobody listens to this or not, I'm still sitting speaking to my mate, and that's all the podcast ever was to me. It was like, you know, I'm getting on, let's just record those hour-long phone calls we were having and just have fun, because that's what we did. And I think we kind of maybe got away a wee bit away from that fun. Yeah, we would throw in the odd funny here and there. But like I said, I think we kind of maybe got bogged down in maybe a bit repetitive. So I think this kind of gives us a wee fresh break on that, I think, Russ.
Yeah, and I think what we tried to do, and we probably didn't even sort of notice it was happening, but we'd moved from the teams to just naming, like, even just a few of our standout players and things again for the thing of, right, okay, you know, I think, like, say, Marcelo Silva at Salt Lake got a couple of mentions from me a few weeks back in July and things, but because he was doing well and he was still at a really sort of practical, affordable price and things. Where we're at now, we actually had an open discussion before the podcast, which it's been quite rare actually recently, I'd say, because we're, you know, time constraints and things. Yeah, and what we did do is we're coming up with a few sort of initiatives in relation to just little sort of competitive elements maybe between us to try and drive us on, but also to help you guys out that are listening there in relation to players and things. We kind of probably got slightly mixed up over the last couple of weeks on the on the challenges, but we've tried to set up just a couple of sort of affordable sort of monitoring teams to watch on a kind of challenge basis. I know you did the limited one a couple of weeks ago where you got a whole team for like 20 quid or something, and then I said last week, okay, I'll come up with a couple of stacks of players where you basically, you've got three or four players, that's what we mean by a stack, that all play for the same club. Sometimes it wins, sometimes it doesn't. When the team does well, it's amazing. When the team doesn't, so for example, this weekend, I had two stacks as two of my main teams. I had FC Sion, who were at home to second bottom or the bottom of the league in Switzerland. And I thought, hey, this is a no-brainer. Spoke to a few sort of general people on Twitter and things who were on the same, absolutely same, sort of same wavelength. And they were like, yeah, this is going to be great. And FC Sion got beat. You couldn't make it up.
Yeah.
And then I thought, it's okay, I'm going to go and have a bath and I'm going to go and watch my beloved Philadelphia Union. And I'm going to watch them, hopefully, you know, they've been in such great form. They've been scoring loads of goals. And I thought, this is perfect. I've got a stack here. I had the two centre-halves, Gleznis and Jack Elliott. I had a choice of two midfielders within Flack and Joseph Martinez. And I thought, I've got Julian Carranza, who's a wee bit of a favourite of mine up front. And I'm thinking, right, okay, I've got a strong team in here. And then I switch on the laptop and they hadn't painted the grass. It was still all the markings from, I'm going to guess it was American football.
That was the American football markings.
Yeah, American football markings. Yeah. And I'm looking, and the first thing I noticed, and hand on heart, the first 5 minutes, there were sort of the perimeters of obviously the American football pitch weren't obviously as wide as,
much narrower.
And I'm watching the fullbacks, which was Wagner, and I think his name's Nathaniel Harriel, and they're both basically playing within the lines of the American football pitch. And I'm like, guys, you've got another 10 yards either side. There's a line that you can run into space. And it was almost like it sort of through the Union, you know, and obviously they've been putting four and five past teams. And obviously Charlotte are a bit hit and miss. You know, they've got that huge stadium. They've got massive, massive fans. You know, for guys that aren't familiar with MLS, do you know what I mean? They're playing in front of 60,000 people. Do you know what I mean? It's absolutely monstrous. And I think their opening game was about 75,000 or something like that when they played the first game in the league. But it was a really, really difficult watch on TV for me. So, you know, obviously I'm watching on the laptop in the bath, but it was a really difficult watch. And that stack just completely got, they got absolutely trounced. It was Daniel Rios scored all four goals. Incidentally, Charlotte's first hat-trick, and then he got fourth. However, on the flip side, out of the stack, there were three players that scored more than 60 points in a 4-0 defeat, including two centre-halves, which shows you the capabilities of what they can score when they win. So
yeah,
we thought about, I know that you've got, I've got three stacks, because obviously I thought I was just building stacks this week for people, and you've got a team. So what we thought we'd do is I would quickly mention the three stacks I've built and then pick a team from it, and it would go up against your team this week.
Yeah, is that right? I'd been talking about the stack I was going to do for limited, and then you'd said, let's do a challenge for 0.16, but I obviously must have not listened to the part about doing it as a stack. So this was basically, in my opinion or my view, this was, let's go with four players and let's, you know, see how we get on with it. But what we've actually come up with, just to, you know, I'm going to go with four players here that I've picked. Now, I've not bought these, but this is going to be my four-man team. And they're going to play Russ is going to pick from his four-man team. And it all comes to, you know, 0.16. So about 200 quid, we said.
Yeah.
So I think that's maybe 0.17 now, because he's kind of come down a little bit in the last week. So, yeah, and whoever's team wins, they're 1-0 up. And there'll be a new challenge for next week, which we're going to put up on a poll, which we'll come to in a wee minute. So let's hear your three stacks. And then whilst I run through my team, Russ, you can narrow it down to four.
Right, okay. So the first stack was for 0.16, and it was actually Livingston. I thought it would remain in Scotland. I went with Pittman up front because he plays, so Scott Pittman.
Yep.
And I went with Sean Kelly, brother of Motherwell goalkeeper Liam. So I went with him. He plays, he's a midfielder card in the game, but he also plays, you know, he can play centre back on midfield, and it's his versatility that keeps him on the side. I went with Nicky Devlin, who's the right back, and Christian Montano, the left back. Now, just very quickly, against Hearts, if you had those four players in, they would have scored you 269 points basic. That's with no bonus, no percentage bonus at all. So Montana got 100 in that one. Devlin got 53, Kelly 65, and Pittman 51 points against Kilmarnock. So that would be in the following week. So again, this is, I'm just thinking thresholds here. I probably wouldn't have won a card, I don't think, even the Hearts game, an underdog. It would have been just a wee bit shy. But against Kilmarnock, it also would have hit lower threshold. So that would have been not bad. And that, as I say, you're looking at the defenders are coming in round about 0.3, 0.35. Kelly's coming in round about 0.4, maybe 0.45 at a push. And Pittman, the cheapest one on the market tonight was 0.75, but I've seen him going for 0.6 and 0.55 recently. So that was one of the stacks. Very quickly, the second stack. Now, this would have just been a lower threshold stack other than the game against Celtic. St Mirren. And I went with Marcus Fraser. You could have a choice of two. They're both pretty much the same. Declan Gallagher or Charles Dunn. And ultimately, those three basically form your three centre-backs at St Mirren in their formation. A favourite of yours, Chris, Mark O'Hara in the midfield. Away from home, St Mirren tend to play him over Greg Kilty, a more defensive setup. Occasionally, if St Mirren are at home, O'Hara will sometimes miss out for Greg Kilty if they're wanting to play a more attacking formation and they're not going to play two strikers. And I went with the only affordable striker, which was Curtis Main, who's been getting, at least been getting game time and been putting in the scores. That team over the last, I think, out of the last 3 weeks would have won you lower threshold. Not quite the return of Livingston, but I thought it was not bad. And this one's completely off the wall. And it's RKC Waljik in the Netherlands.
Interesting choice.
So it's got four players. And I just basically looked at three games that they played, and it was against Excelsior, PSV and Cambuur. And the four players that I've come up with are Vernon Anita, that used to be at Newcastle United. He's a midfielder, comes in under 0.03, so around about £35. They've got a young under-23 defender called Lutonda, I think is how you pronounce it. Pell Clement, who has recently joined them. So he's a midfielder, consistent card. And a young striker called Kuipers. I think it's Roy or Ray Kuipers up front. Again, just to give you an example, against Cambuur, Anita scored 95, Lutonda 45, Clement 52 and Kuipers 71. That would have got you 263 points. Against PSV, which I wanted to put that in there just to show you just that it doesn't always work. So obviously that's a hard game for them.
Yeah.
They just missed. So they would have been about 169 points, I think it is, that I've got. So they wouldn't have won anything that week. But the week before was Excelsior, and they would have hit lower threshold with three of the players. Kuipers didn't actually play that one. but Anita Lutonda and Clement between them scored 220 points. So that would have been three players hitting your lower threshold. Right. So that was the three options that I have. I've got a couple of other random players, and including one that you have that I'm not going to use. So I'm going to look and put together a team for 0.16 out of these and maybe one other guy whilst you mention yours.
Let's do that then. So yeah, I think that's quite interesting to look. If you're getting, you know, a team for 200 quid and you're able to hit the lower threshold, which at the moment's coming in about 23 quid, that's almost, you know, it's over a 10% return for hitting the lower ETH. So I think that's worth having a proper look at, you know, and addressing. So I'm going to run through these four players and I'll go from defenders to forwards. So defender, now this one's a wee bit of a gamble. He's actually played the last five games, but he's been a substitute or hasn't been played. So I've gone with Iñigo Lekue from Athletic Bilbao. Now he's coming in, Russ, at 0.029, which is 34 quid. And this weekend they're away to Sevilla and his last five average has been 54. Left back there, so he has been playing consistently his last five games. I haven't looked to see if it's for injury or purposes, so I'm taking a gamble on this one. He's the only one of the three that I would consider a gamble, but I needed to get a very cheap defender to fit in with the rest of them. The one that you referenced there, Russ, that I think we both probably were looking at was Johnny Hayes of Aberdeen. He's actually the most expensive player that I've picked in this, 0.054, which is £64 at the moment. Aberdeen are away to Dundee United this weekend. His last five average is 63. Now, his price has steadily crept up. I tried to get him maybe a week or so ago for about 0.04. So his price has definitely creeped up, but his age counts against him. But he's been in fantastic form for Aberdeen and would definitely be one there that I would consider. One you just mentioned, Russ, Vernon Anita of Wolvic. He was one that I've got in there. So if he ends up in your team too, who cares? It doesn't matter. 0.029, 34 quid, away to Groningen this weekend. Last five average of 55. And finally, one that I picked up early in the season and he went just before I sold all my Japanese cards, and it was Gabriel Xavier of Consadole Sapporo. Now, he's coming in at 0.046. It's obviously the end of their season, so that's why he's coming in so cheap. £55, that is. This weekend, they're home to Avispa, and his last five average is 53. And in that spell, he has had three games where he's had decisives. I think it's two goals and an assist. So you're able to pick all those players up, and that comes to, that's what, 100, 119 and 68. So that's 187. That's all coming to. So that's sub 200. And if that can hit 205, you know, brilliant. So that's going to be the four players that I'm choosing. And they will compete against Russ's four. And whoever wins will be 1-0 up in this brand new series of challenges, Russ. So what have you got?
Right, I've had to make an adjustment because I was just looking at the fixtures.
Oh.
And one of I was tempted to put Curtis Main in there, but then I realised they're away to Rangers. So we're going to scrap that one. However, I have got three of the players that I have previously mentioned, and I have one that fits within the budget that I've not previously mentioned. So, to give you the elements of surprise. So I'll go with Nicky Devlin of Livingston as my defender.
Makes perfect sense.
I'm going to stick with Vernon Anita in my midfield.
Yep.
I'm going to partner him with Pell Clement of the same club in my midfield. And my striker is going to be Sebastian Poulter at Schalke.
Former hold of mine for a
and
long
mine.
Time.
I had a blue one.
You did. And I had him last season. It was Bochum, wasn't it?
He was, yeah. And he, Hoffenheim as well, I think, was he?
Was, Hoffenheim? It was one of the teams. Anyway, but yeah, I had him for I don't know, 3-4 months. And he actually got me through the threshold on many an occasion last season.
I've just priced it. And Devlin, 35. Anita, 29. So that's 64. Clement, 42, so that's 106, and Poulter, 50. So 1.156 I could buy this team right now in the market for.
Excellent. And that's without negotiation as well. So that's just your your low-end prices. I mean, I'm surprised. Nicky Devlin got off to a great start in the season as well, eh? So his score was actually, you know, I'm kind of surprised that he's come down at that far in price to sub 40 quid.
Well, Livingston have got Ross County this week as well, weekend.
That's a very struggling team. I'm surprised Malky Mackay's made it through the day, to be honest. They got hammered 5-0 at home last night from Motherwell. So I'm surprised he's actually made it through the day with his job still intact.
Ross Laidlaw holders, beware.
I was going to post that earlier in the day. And because I'd mentioned him on the podcast last week as maybe being one that I'd kind of considered, I just felt if I mentioned it in the manner I was going to, it might look I was trying to drop the price, if I'm being honest. But I'm quite happy with David Jensen that I've got from Istanbul Sport, to be perfectly honest. But yeah, I think that's going to be a wee bit of fun there, Russ. So we'll put the two teams up onto the podcast account and we will see who comes out. Now, we'll just go with the base score for each player
without,
you know, percentages added on. And we will see who wins out the two of us on that. I think it'll be quite an interesting one. Next week, we're going to put a poll up. So we'll put that up before the podcast for people to choose. Probably over the weekend, Russ, what would we say?
Over the weekend, and I think we'll put up a couple of the leagues that are coming to their sort of conclusion before their big breaks as options so that we use them, so that we can use other leagues kind of closer to Christmas.
So we'll put up something along the lines of, say, we'll put up four choices, and whichever league gets the most choices will be the one that we have to pick four players each from and do the same thing here, and then we'll just see who wins that time. I think this will be quite interesting to see. It's going to be a proper a view from the dugout battle between Serrair on a budget and Scotland Serrair. So, that'll be quite fun. I think it's going to be one that I'm going to be more engaged in than when I had to try and find five porn stars. I think this is going to be quite fun. But you know what the thing is? From doing it this way, Russ, this is a slightly different way for recommending players to go and have a look at, I think, because... And one that I would probably say, actually two, I'd probably say people might have a look at. Before we went on the podcast, I mentioned Johnny Hayes' average rating and you agreed. And I think you possibly had him written down. And Vernon Anita. So there's two players completely independently of each other from all the players in Serrair that you could have picked as budget pickups. We've both picked those two. So that might be worth once to, you know, go and have a wee nosy at Russ. So,
indeed.
So yeah, that's it from me tonight. I don't have anything else to add. Russ, do you have anything else you want to chuck in?
No. I think we're just obviously wanting to vary the format a wee bit. We're going to try and we've got a couple other ideas that we're going to fine tune just in relation to things, just different things to talk about. But ultimately, I think the idea is that we want to continue and get back to certainly giving more sort of player information, player tips, team tips, looking at fixtures, strategy. I think we'll do a proper strategy session.
Yes.
We've spoke a couple of times and we're not probably quite ready in the position because we're both tinkering with our galleries at the moment. But I think certainly for the new year, or maybe just before, we look at doing something where we basically take 0.1 or something like that if we've got it spare and we use real-time trading just to show you that, you know, it's not sort of a myth or fiction where we're turning around and saying, you know, we're turning 0.1 into 0.5 in a month because we are and we both are. A prime example for you to finish on would be that you can tell the tale of your pal no longer being your pal.
Yes, Kenneth Powell, for example, picked him up 3 weeks ago. Let me just get the exact date on it because he sold earlier in the day. Now he's up to a 73 average, so it's a bit of a gamble to let him go, to be perfectly honest. However, money talks and all that. So yeah, on the 16th of September, I picked him up for 0.1, which at the time was £129.51, Russ. And he sold this afternoon for £261.37. So 100% profit on him. Slightly more than that in terms of the ETH value. He also contributed to some threshold wins over that time period there as well. So yes, it's I had plans on possibly using him this weekend, but you know what? When somebody's offering me double what I paid for a card, now if he goes on and rockets up in value, more power to those people. But I'm happy. I've doubled my money on them, and I'm going to reinvest that back in other cards and just do the same cycle again. I mentioned it to you, you know, if we're going to use the, what everybody uses, this rare data value, as flawed as it can be, as we've spoke about on previous podcasts, Russ. I am currently sitting with a Surreal Data value of 2.56, and I am sitting with a balance of 0.3 on top of that. So realistically, I'm looking at a complete value going by the Surreal Data one of 2.86. And when I recorded last week's podcast with you, I believe it was 2.4 something. So there we go. I've added on the better part of half an ETH going by the Surreal Data value in the last week. So it's a substantial chunk of money. And that's not taking into consideration the 0.146 that was withdrawn last night.
So all positives. So good way and a good positive end to the podcast.
Guys, and I've went back to full basics. But that's going to be a subject for another day in terms of talking about the strategy for that. So leave you hanging on that one, I guess. We might talk about that next week, maybe along with some other new league launches, guys. But thank you so much for your time. I hope you've enjoyed the new format this week. Take care, enjoy your game weeks, and we will speak to you all again soon.